Hi, I'm Marcus Edwards, and I'm interested in talking to people who are interested in talking to people who are interested in having a conversation about their future. Does that make any sense? I don't know. Anyway, welcome to Recruiting Trailblazers. So, I am very excited today to welcome my guest to Recruiting Trailblazers. Holden Lager is a talent acquisition leader with 8 years of experience in the staffing and recruiting industry. The first 5 years were spent on the agency side, leading a variety of professional recruitment teams. 3 years ago, he transitioned to head of internal TA at Eastridge Workforce Solutions, a 100% employee-owned staffing firm based out of San Diego. Now, his favorite movie is... he can't decide whether it's Wolf of Wall Street or Forrest Gump, two great movies. And his favorite artist might be the Steve Miller Band. So welcome to the show, Holden Lager.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Knocked it out of the park.
Good stuff. And we've already talked about your name. You're the first Holden I've met, and I'm a big fan of your namesake, Holden Caulfield, of Catcher in the Rye fame.
I love it. I thank my parents every day, but I can't stand the book, which is a really polarizing opinion. Some people love it. Some people hate it. I'm one of those ones who couldn't do it.
Really? That's funny. I read it when I was 14. Yep. I had to study it at school, and we read it in English class. And I absolutely loved it. I've read it many times since.
I read it after college where I could understand it a little bit more. And it wasn't for me.
Okay. Fair enough. So your favorite movie is, well, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
I love Wolf of Wall Street. Okay. I think it's an underrated film. I think that Leo
Big
DiCaprio
time.
Should have got an Oscar for that. He was absolutely brilliant in it. And second of all, one of my favorite scenes of any movie is at the very beginning of that film when he's sitting down with Matthew McConaughey, who's explaining to him sort of the rules of Wall Street. He goes... number one rule of Wall Street, nobody, and I don't care if you're Warren Buffett or if you're Jimmy Buffett, nobody knows if a stock is going to go up, down, sideways, or in fucking circles. Least of all stockbrokers, right?
Yep. That whole beginning, it's one of the best movies openers, especially when I was in a sales role coming in like full desk in the agency world. That's every sales scene that came up fired me up. I know some people don't agree with them, but man... That intro, I still think about it all the time. I stole some of those lines too when I would talk to my clients making those cold calls. They were great.
Yeah. There's another great scene when he joins the investor center and he's selling that penny stock Aerotyne over the phone and everybody in the whole room is captivated. And then at the end of the call, he sells the whatever it is, the 10,000 shares and puts the phone down. And the guy sitting behind him goes, "How the hell did you do that?"
How could you not leave that motivated? If you're a salesperson, I was ready to smile and dial right away.
I don't know whether that exercise is the best salesmanship because he does most of the talking, but it's a very inspirational scene. I think it's brilliant.
Yep, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me a bit about Eastridge. You're not a small company, are you? Eastridge Workforce Solutions. What do you guys do? Who are you?
Yeah, we're definitely not the small guys. Not too big either. So we're about 300 employees, $350 million in revenue, and we focus on everything workforce solutions oriented. So not only can we do the high volume staffing and professional recruiting, but we're also getting a big hand in payrolling, RPO, and managed services. So we've tied all of that together with one of our technologies we created, now known as Taliant. It's basically a VMS. So we're one of the only companies in the United States that has all five of these workforce solution services and has their own technology that they've integrated with everything.
Right. But essentially, at the core of your business, you're a bunch of recruiters.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So let's keep it simple. Which part of the business, the five arms that you just mentioned, yields the most revenue?
Yeah, the most revenue is going to be coming out of our recruitment side of the business. So it's a mix and pretty split 50-50 between our temporary side of the business as well as all of our professional recruiting.
Yeah. Okay. And do you specialize in any specific verticals, IT, finance, healthcare?
We do a little bit of everything, bit of everything. We have specialized in subject matter experts in each side, but we're a general firm that will work with any company as long as they're growing and they're someone that we could trust. That's who we're going to work with.
Yeah. And you're the head of TA for the whole shebang.
Everything. So I'm doing internal recruiting for the corporate side, as well as our front of the house, recruiting recruiters, salespeople, leadership, and it's for all the different verticals.
Yeah. So you recruit recruiters.
Essentially, yes. That is 90% of my day is talking to recruiters on the phone.
How do you explain that to somebody who's not a recruiter, that you recruit recruiters? It's just very confusing, isn't it?
My CFO puts it that we are basically, it's like cooking for chefs. Everybody kind of has their own way of doing it, and they're all going to have kind of their own idea. Some people knock it out of the park, some people don't. But it's fun. I like talking to like-minded individuals for sure. They understand what my day to day is. And same with them. So the conversations usually flow pretty well. But everybody also has a different idea of recruiting.
Yeah. I used to recruit recruiters, and people used to say, "What do you do?" And I say, "I help people who help people get jobs at companies who help people get jobs."
And you can
and they're
see,
like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
The cogs spin. I know. I always have a tough time explaining what I do. I recruit recruiters for a recruiting firm.
It just doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it makes it tough.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's zoom out for a second and talk a bit about the staffing industry today in 2023. You know, we're going through a bit of a lull. Talk to me a little bit about what you're seeing generally as a fairly big player in the market in terms of like perm numbers, contract numbers, and the general sort of like, you know, the general consensus here on what the economy's done to the industry.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely saw a little bit of a slowdown. I mean, you saw the layoffs. It all started happening in 2022 after the incredible amount of hiring we did in 2021 for recruiters. So when the layoffs first started happening, it shook up the industry a bit. And that mostly hit corporate recruiters and recruiter layoffs. So with that, we've seen a lot of our perm sales drop across the industry. So most of what we're seeing with my candidates, with other agencies, is right around that like 40, 50% drop in perm. And then looking at our temp and contract, it's kind of the same, 30 to 40% at some companies. Not as much down because we're seeing a lot of companies that are scared to hire. They still need work to be done. So they're shifting toward those temp contractors, temp and contract workers. So we're seeing a little bit of an increase. So the industry as a whole, it is kind of dropping, but we're seeing a stabilization at this point. Things are starting to look up a little bit more, and we feel like we've kind of hit the bottom.
Yeah, it does. It feels like people have stopped laying people off for the moment. And there was some big recruiter layoffs recently, but they seem to have slowed down. And in fact, people have been saying online that they're seeing more and more, first of all, recruiters announcing that they're getting back to work, and more and more openings for recruiters being published on LinkedIn and Indeed, et cetera. So it just feels like maybe the worm has turned and we've hit the bottom and we're just starting to see a little bit of growth again and maybe a bit more confidence in the marketplace. And inevitably, it's going to bounce back because there must be a lot of pent-up demand. What are you seeing?
Big time. I mean, just on LinkedIn, I got an email the other day that there was a 17% increase in talent acquisition positions posted in the last week.
Great bellwether.
We know that it's coming up. So we are seeing a lot of clients that are picking up. It's certain departments that are taking on a lot more. There's still certain areas where it is a candidate market, like the legal recruiting field is one of them. So
candidate-driven market where there's still like less candidates than there are jobs.
Big time, big time. So it really depends on the area that you're recruiting in, but there has been a shift towards certain industries and certain departments that are still having a tough time recruiting.
Yeah. I mean, you and I spend most of our time in tech, don't we?
I spend a lot of my time, not as much in tech. Honestly, it's more of the professional services that we've been working on. So accounting and finance, human resources, legal. We do have technical manufacturing quite a bit. And we have a lot of clients that are in that technical space as well. But tech is starting to pick up a lot more. And my focus will shift back to IT recruiting.
Yeah. I think when you see a lot more ads for recruiters and TA folks, that's a great bellwether for the economy because they're the first to be let go, but also the first to be rehired as well.
Exactly.
Do you think, though, that in the recovery that we're inevitably going to have that may have started, we're going to see a slightly less aggressive sort of growth curve and maybe more of a dependency upon flexible workers and contractors. Do you think that's going to happen?
I think that's the exact route we're going to go. I think there is going to be a heavy reliance on agencies still to pick that up, an RPO type of work, contract type of work. That's a big influx that I've been seeing for some of the corporate recruiters I've been talking to are contract roles. So I think that's going to be the route. There's going to be hesitation around bringing on people full time. So the contract recruit type of work is what's going to come up.
Yeah. It's been an interesting few years for recruiters, hasn't it? Because we saw a big influx from agency to internal in that post-pandemic boom.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. I mean, I hats off to anybody who crossed the bridge. I think there's some fantastic recruiters, many of whom we've had on this show, internal recruiters who used to perhaps work at agencies or maybe went straight into internal recruiting. But obviously that party ended and a lot of people were laid off. And now we're in an interesting position where perhaps some of those internal recruiters are even readdressing coming back to the agency world. And you're probably seeing some of that as well, aren't you?
I'm seeing it more and more every day. I definitely saw it a lot more in the beginning when layoffs first happened. And, you know, the offers that they were getting, that'd be almost impossible to turn down. But we are finding a lot of corporate recruiters that truly want to get back into the agency world. So the ones that do want to get back, you just have to make those agencies feel like you're ready and truly want to be an agency recruiter again or become an agency recruiter for the long term, not something as a short-term fix until the economy fixes itself or more things are posted for recruiters. So as long as they make them feel like it's a truly a long-term fit, not a short-term solution, and they have the right motivations for an agency recruiter, you're going to have no problem getting a role back in the agency world.
Really? Okay, that's surprising. I mean, what kind of questions or qualifying questions would you ask an internal recruiter who's, you know, expressing a desire to come back to the agency model or maybe even come into the agency for the first time?
Yeah, the first thing I'm always asking is why, and listening for why they want to be an agency recruiter. Of course, everybody wants to get involved, expand on their skills. That's a given. But the ones that want to be able to really control their commissions, they're money motivated, they're numbers driven, and they like the idea of working with several different types of clients. That's what I'm listening for. If they're not giving us the feeling that they are that money motivated, numbers driven type of recruiter, or that's truly where their values lie, a lot of agencies are going to have a tough time feeling like this is going to be a long term fit until, you know, a new role comes up in the next 3 months on the internal side.
So they need to convince you that they're deadly serious about coming back to agency. What happens if they said, look, I lost my job as an internal recruiter and there are no internal recruitment jobs right now for me? And so, you know, I'd love to rejoin agency.
Yeah, of course. And that definitely comes up. So if they are the specialized type of recruiter where we feel like the team is at a situation where they need somebody to fix that, to be that fix, and they're open to that short term, we could definitely make that type of hire. The other route that we've considered too is more of like a temp to hire type of possibility to see if this is something that they want to do, if they've kept up with the numbers and they've done their due diligence on our industry and what we do, then we'll definitely consider them on the temp to hire side.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare, but it comes up every once in a while.
Yeah. I heard a lot about internal recruiter layoffs, but I didn't hear a great deal about agency layoffs. Did you guys have to lay off anybody?
We didn't have to lay off any recruiters on that front. We've had a lot of recruiters that have decided to leave the industry given the changes. So that's the tough part. We are hearing a lot of layoffs with the amount of orders that are a bit lower. So that's been kind of the biggest shift in the last few months, more layoffs on the agency side for recruiters than what we were expecting to see.
Right. Because you're out in the market talking to recruiters all the time. So you've probably got a fairly good idea of who's laying off people. Are any of like the big agencies, you know, the Robert Harves and K Forces, have they been laying anybody off?
You've definitely seen a lot of that. They're calling it reductions in forces. A lot of them are also getting very strict with their KPIs, where candidates felt like they were doing well and they've just kind of made the cut on their KPIs that they weren't maybe holding them to before. So there's a lot of candidates there that are on the market that kind of found themselves in a tough situation. A lot of these recruiters can't control the amount of orders that are coming in too. So they're seeing a drop in the amount of presents and numbers that they're able to fill. So that's been one of the toughest things in the market, is seeing those candidates that that were doing really well. They just didn't have the orders to be able to fulfill them.
Well, how do you hit your metrics or your KPIs if you've got no orders to work on?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's pretty tricky. Yeah. So it sounds like you guys are currently hiring anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. We have some of our teams that are absolutely thriving. And those are going to be, I mentioned it kind of before, the legal side. Technical manufacturing is doing extremely well for us in all of our different categories, all of our different markets. So those are areas I've focused pretty heavily on. Accounting and finance is always going to be a heavy lift. And I think IT is slowly coming back, but accounting and finance recruiters are also a big one.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's driving the need? Are you overloaded with recs, or are you top grading, or are you just looking to grow organically?
Yeah, we've definitely we're seeing a little bit more of an influx of recs, and we've kind of readjusted to what the market is asking and what they're looking for. And that's truly focusing on those clients that we can expand into. Luckily, with the five services, we're able to work with companies in more ways than just the regular retail staffing agency side.
Right.
So those MSP accounts, we could expand into more of our retail recruiting. We could expand into more markets. We've also capitalized a lot on more of our strategic accounts on a national basis. So that's been the big focus, which is increase the amount of orders. But we're also focusing on trying to get producing recruiters, high producing recruiters that are very skilled, and bringing them in instead of focusing on some of those lower level, entry level recruiters. So ones that are coming in with accounts that are maybe unhappy with their current setup, depending on, you know, the state and
non-competes.
But those recruiters that are unhappy with maybe the transparency that their current agencies are giving them, those are the ones that we've been doing really well with pulling.
That's interesting. I mean, it's always hard to find great recruiters who want to leave their agency and join another agency because of the old golden handcuff syndrome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're on contract and you've got 20 or 30 contractors out or more, it's almost impossible to leave because you've got such a high run rate, you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars in commission.
Yes. That's one of the toughest part, is getting the people that already are making those hundreds of thousands of dollars. They know that they're going to have to step away and rebuild that book of business. And those are usually the long-term plays. Once they get to that point where things are a little bit too difficult, they can't look past some of the decisions that were made, the teams that were cut, the changes that have happened. Some amazing recruiters have been through 5, 6, 7 different leaders and recruiting managers over the last year, just this year alone. They finally will hit a breaking point where they're ready to find a place that's stable enough that isn't making those changes, that has proven themselves since 2020 to not have to do the layoffs and keep to their word.
And so what are the main reasons when you're talking to people who are employed elsewhere? What are some of the main reasons that they'd be willing to consider a move for?
Yeah, the biggest things that are coming up right now is just the instability that they're having and the transparency around that instability. They're not, maybe not the boss, their person they're reporting directly to, might not be the one trying to hide anything, but there's a lot coming in at the top where the recruiters don't know what's going on and why decisions are being made. So with that, it's really affecting the culture of what they first joined into. I mean, it's tough in this market with the way things are headed. There's all, of course, a lot of uncertainty, but without transparency, it makes it very tough. On top of that, there's less orders to work on with some of these agencies. Recruiters that were doing really well aren't making the money that they're used to making. And they're seeing a lot of their growth opportunities kind of disappear. So everybody's looking for that stable role that hasn't made those changes, that has the orders. And if they've shown that stability, that's where they're headed. Yeah. Do that right now.
This episode of Recruiting Trailblazers is brought to you by Vertical Move. Vertical Move builds world-class digital transformation, product, and software engineering teams by sourcing only the top 5% of passive technical talent. Vertical Move's AI-powered digital skills assessment and paired programming protocols exemplify the most qualified candidates, thus expediting the hiring process and saving customers valuable time and resources. Vertical move, for technical talent you can trust.
Yeah. What are you looking for? I mean, when you first get on the phone with somebody, I mean, data is obviously very important, but of course, we've already discussed, it's very hard to pull people out if they're doing extremely well elsewhere. Even if there are cultural problems going on within the company, frankly, people will weather that if they've got a huge run rate or they're making tons of placements. But what are you looking for? If you get on the phone with me, what kind of nuanced questions are you asking to figure out whether I'm made of the right metal, the right stuff that would fit into a company like Eastridge?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I love talking to people that are going to have a positive attitude about what they do. They're excited on the phone and can kind of relate to where we're all at. But knowing their processes forwards and backwards is extremely, extremely important. Someone that can talk about their processes, is excited about their processes, those are the first things we're looking at. On top of that, I think it's the long-term fit that we're looking for. The long-term outlook that they're having on the industry is going to be our biggest piece.
Yeah. Are you filling more internal roles at Eastridge via your outbound efforts than you are via your inbound efforts?
We barely fill anything from inbound efforts. It's pretty rare to hire people that are applying directly. So
why is that? Because you must have a full inbox. I mean, I'm assuming you're still advertising, right?
Yes, big time. We've seen a huge influx in the amount of candidates that are coming through. A lot that are very qualified and some that aren't. So of course, we're trying to talk to as many candidates as possible, get their story and see if they're going to be the right match. But of course, we haven't slowed down on our outbound efforts. I would say that most of the employees that we are getting are the ones that are passively seeking, that are coming from our headhunting efforts. Those are the generally the candidates that that I would say about 80% are coming from our outbound efforts.
Right. And because you said earlier, you're really targeting people with experience these days and you're having more success, which is remarkable because traditionally, you know, the big box recruitment model is just, you know, bring people in at an entry level, train them up, deal with the turnover. It's a bit of a revolving door, but for every five people that you hire, one or two of them are going to survive and thrive. Yep. And you just keep doing that, rinse and repeat. That's not how you're doing it, obviously.
No, we just don't have the resources, one, to be able to do that. But two, we're trying to create a environment where there isn't as many layoffs or turnover that we would expect. We're trying to get those candidates that already have experience, that have proven themselves, that are ready to step into another company. Now, we do have a program for those entry-level recruiters, but most of what we're doing now with the way that the market is headed and where we're at today, we have to get the recruiters that know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. So when you're reviewing a resume, okay, because occasionally you're going to see an inbound applicant and think, yeah, this person looks really good. What are you looking for? What kind of data points, what kind of information are you looking for, which would immediately ring bells and for you to think, yeah, I need to talk to this person?
Yeah. You would think that every single recruiter would have one of the best resumes out there.
Of course.
But you'd be surprised. Some of the things that that I like to see right up front is numbers on their KPIs and metrics, which a lot aren't putting on there. How many placements are you doing? What's your main focus in the types of roles? And then what are you billing? If you put your billing numbers right out there, some of the awards that you're getting, which I find are missing a lot too, that's definitely going to catch an eye. So KPIs and metrics right up front, it shows that you're very confident in your numbers and what you're doing, throwing down your billing and exactly what you were focused on, as well as your awards and accolades. Those are going to be very important for us.
Yeah, yeah. How important to you is career history? If someone's bounced around a little bit, does that matter?
Bouncing around is okay in some cases. I am going to want to see a lot of longevity. And if you are bouncing around, you got to have some good reasons for leaving. And that's how it's going to be for any candidate in most markets, aside from maybe tech. But we like to see as much stability as possible.
Mm. I think in recent years, we need to be a bit more forgiving, don't you? Because a lot of people have been laid off or let go, and it wasn't their choice.
Yeah.
And so it looks like people have bounced around a bit more than perhaps they wanted to.
Yes.
And if they'd found the right home, they would have stuck around. And that's definitely true for a lot of internal recruiters, but it sounds like there are some agency recruiters who've been laid off as well. So
yeah, of course.
Yeah. So when you first get on the phone to me as a recruiter, are you going straight for the jugular? Is it how many placements have you made in the last year, Marcus? I mean, how am I going to impress you?
Not at all. At first, I definitely want to get to know your experience, what you're feeling, if you're working, what types of clients you're working with. So I want to get a big picture story of who you are and your experience before I even get into any of the numbers. If it aligns, then I'll start talking about metrics, KPIs, and I'm really comparing them and talking to these candidates about what our KPIs and metrics and expectations are. So as long as all of those align, I save the numbers for the very end. I just want to know who you are, why you're in recruiting, what got you into recruiting,
yep,
what are your motivations first before I want to talk about numbers.
Excellent stuff. On that theme, let's continue to sort of talk a bit about the best advice that you've got to give to agency recruiters if they're looking for a new job. I know you're big on fixing your LinkedIn profile, aren't you?
Big time. I mean, LinkedIn is where a lot of our recruiters are going to live. That's where recruiters are spending their most time, especially if they're on the professional side. So I find a lot of candidates aren't putting keywords even on their resume or on their LinkedIn. They leave it kind of open. So fix it up, make it look good, make it look like you're a recruiter. Be able to just really quantify what you've done, whether that be on your LinkedIn or your resume. I know I've hit a lot on KPIs and metrics. It's definitely good to just know those numbers. But if I were also looking for a job on LinkedIn, the biggest thing I would do is, yes, apply for the job, but reach out to the hiring managers and internal TA. Use a personalized message. Don't use the templates. The templates I get all the time, they all look the same. You could point them out right away. So use a personalized message. It will stand out. Start high, go for those senior leaders and work your way down. I think that's the best way to go about it. You know, if I could point out some people to maybe follow on LinkedIn that'd give really good advice. Austin Belkak is one of them. He's one of my favorites. If I was on the market, that's exactly what I would be doing.
He teaches people how to get jobs.
Yep. And it's incredible advice. Every person that I know is looking for a role, I send them his background right away. And then the last tips, listen to some podcasts just like this. They'll give you all the tips in the world. Attend some free networking events, some seminars and webinars. I actually like looking for recruiters that say they're looking for roles on those webinars because I know they're trying to do better for themselves. So it opens up a lot of interesting conversations you might not have had before.
Yeah. I like what you said about personalization. I like talking about personalization because I think people are inherently lazy.
Yeah.
And I actually think that you'd be better off sending a very, very personal message. And when I say very, very personal, I mean making it extremely obvious to the person that you're reaching out to that you're speaking only to them.
Yep.
Okay. Identifying yourself as somebody who is specifically interested in having a conversation with that person. And if it smells like a template or it smells like spam, nobody cares. Nobody
yes.
wants to talk to you. They're just going to immediately delete it. And so I think that's a fantastic piece of advice. I think you're better off sending out 10 or 15 of those a day than you are sending out 100 spammy ones, you know, sort of with a sort of a catch-all mentality, right?
I couldn't agree more. And funny, I actually just pulled up a stat for my CHRO on some of the shifts I've made in our templates for TA. We focused extremely heavily on the personalization. We're not using much of a template at all. And that personalization has increased our response rates alone by over 200%. So it sounds like a big number, but really
That's
I went
okay.
from
yeah.
close
what
to-
What kind of personalization are you talking about?
So in our in-mails to our candidates, immediately you have to highlight personalized pieces that you're finding on their LinkedIn. And it's so basic, but a lot of people aren't reading summaries, which is one thing. Pointing out their growth and why you truly think that they're good for it and relating it exactly to their experience. It's so important. And a lot of recruiters don't do it. They'll put in simply, hey, I see you're a recruiter. I got a recruiter role open and here's everything about my company. So that personalization, I went kind of to the nth degree with a lot of these candidates, pointed out things that we're close enough and it's worked. I went from having about a 25% to over a 50% response rate. And of those, one message has about 100% acceptance rate on those, but it's closer to about an 80% acceptance rate. So the ones that are replying.
That's really good. And yeah, I mean, the power of personalization is not lost on me. And I respond to every message that's clearly personalized to me. And I think if I was looking for a job in recruiting at a recruitment agency, I could quite easily make those initial conversations happening just by creating, you know, very warm, very obviously personal, very pointed emails that reconcile what I'm capable of doing with, you know, their value proposition and what they're looking to achieve as a business. Just by reading their website and figuring out who works there and, you know, getting onto their LinkedIn profiles and looking at some of the stuff that they posted. If you're willing to do a few minutes of research, you send out 5 or 10 of those, you're going to get some responses.
Yeah, I light up anytime anybody even mentions the Eastridge values and what we like to call our DNA, because I know they've done their research and tied it into who we are. I jump on those so fast.
And what are your values?
Yeah, so the values that we have are creativity, commitment, integrity, communication, and deliver our best. Those are written and talked about on all of our town hall meetings that we have from our CEOs, our senior executives, and works its way down. The other thing that we've come up with is something called our Eastridge DNA. And that is like the heart of our company. We actually created a recruitment process around our Eastridge DNA. And those are our characteristics we want all of our candidates to have, which is ownership, urgency, resilience, work ethic, and self-awareness. Right. We know that if you align with the DNA and our values, you're going to do extremely well here, whether you're going for a recruiter role or any other position here at Eastridge.
Fantastic stuff. Well, you've heard it here on Recruiting Trailblazers from the horse's mouth. If you want to get an interview with Eastridge Workforce Solutions, talk about their values and talk about their DNA, and you will be invited in. So thank you. On that note, we've cracked it. Holden, me and you, we've cracked it. Once more on Recruiting Trailblazers, thanks a lot for coming along and having a conversation with me today. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll speak again soon.
Thank you, Marcus. I appreciate it.
Okay. Cheers, mate.
Cheers.